Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, growing up, honey, I used to love watching Laurel and Hardy movies.
I know you did.
And if you haven't ever had the pleasure of watching them, go to YouTube. Select some of their video clips or entire movies. In the midst of their comic mischief and mayhem, Oliver Hardy would say to Stanley Laurel, "Well, here's another fine mess you've gotten us into." Truthfully, I think that expression could describe some of the economic policies of the United States government over the past 8 years. Hopefully it's getting a little better.
Yeah, hopefully.
But anyhow, and truthfully even beyond that. See, the government, like any family, cannot spend more than it makes without facing economic peril and ruin. Many live in financial fear because of the daily headlines worrying them about what they're going to do financially and how they're going to make it. We've said this many times. We've never seen worry change a news report, dry a tear, restore a bank account, or get the right people elected to office. But we have seen worry destroy lives, marriages, and businesses. You know, I had the news on for a minute just as I was starting this teaching. That's a big mistake. I turned the volume down and started praying for the finances of every believer and the economic well-being of this and every other nation. Well, most of them.
That's it.
As I was praying, here are several things we felt the Lord would have us share with you. Number one, don't be fearful about what's happening in your finances or the world economy. 2 Timothy 1:7, Classic Amplified Bible. You know the scripture well. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, cringing, and phoning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." You know, many times I look at my, when I'm feeling things are going kind of awry, not the way I want them to go.
We want them to go. That's right.
And, you know, years ago, I started looking out my window. And if I didn't see God's throne, I know he's still on it. And as long as God is on his throne, everything is going to be all right. Frankly, to me, that's much more comforting than anything any politician can say. They have the power to change a few things. And we emphasize few things in the natural. Scripture in Timothy says God has given us the power to change our situation through the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Number two. Who can you trust for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, you guessed it, not the news media. Probably not your next door neighbor, absolutely, who's maybe as lost as a goose in a blizzard, as my husband likes to say. In Numbers 23:19. Listen to this. This is so good. Get it down in your spirit. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Everybody has an agenda, but not God. His only agenda is each of us fulfilling our destiny. People want to change your life through their agenda. But God says, seek his face and he will direct you in the path that you should go, the one you can count on. Psalm 32:8, in the Classic Amplified Version, Psalm 32:8 says, "I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah is right. Number three, where does money come from, and where is it going to end up? Deuteronomy 10:14, 10:14, Classic Amplified. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of the heavens belong to the Lord, your God. The earth, with all that is in it and on it. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The New Living Translation of Psalm 24:1 makes it even clearer when it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Your money, whether it's in your pocket, your bank, your investment account, your money comes from God. The scripture says we own nothing, but we get to manage everything. Don't you think God knows what's happening in the world? The only thing that will upset our Heavenly Father is if we're trusting the government, the stock market, or 401ks more than we are him. Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That's you. That's me. That's us. The only thing that's important is that you know who will cause the money to come into your hands. God is the one who will cause miracle money to come into your life. How can we be so sure?
In Proverbs 28:8, it says, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And in Job 27, starting in verse 16, in the New Living Translation says, evil people may have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing and the innocent will divide that money. Wow. We said that together. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, for to the person who pleases him, God, gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping up that he may give to the one who pleases God. You got to love it. Proverbs 6:31. How many times have we quoted that? Proverbs 6:31 says, but if he, the thief, be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. And we know the thief. When you identify the thief, you have the authority as a believer to claim a sevenfold restoration of what's been taken from you. And we know the devil is the thief. That's right. And we claim that sevenfold restoration of all the money that you've lost seven times over.
Not just for us, but for all our partners as well. Number four, what should you do with the money you have? Genesis 26:1-3. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you, and I will bless you. In the midst of an economic crisis, sometimes people run away. They always run to Egypt, to the world. Isaac even consulted the king of the Philistines, the world, about what he should do. But God said, stay right here. Don't leave. Do what I tell you to do and everything will be all right. In other words, reject the advice of everybody else. Have faith and do what the Lord directs you to do. Which leads us to number five.
Number five, what do you do when times are tough? It's a good question. In Genesis 26:12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The devil will use fear and doubt and despondency to keep you from doing the one thing that can turn your finances around. And the devil will try to convince you that you don't have the money to give because times are tough. This is the one time that you need to give. Kingdom giving is the one and only thing that offers us a guaranteed return that will not fail. In Ecclesiastes 11:1 in the Message Bible, it says, be generous Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. And in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him."
You know, honey, I love
that Message Bible.
The Message Bible translation of that.
You need to read it.
It says, "Those who planted their crops in despair will shout hoorahs at the harvest. But those who went off with heavy hearts will come back laughing with armloads of blessings." Did you hear that? Armloads of blessings. Number 6, are there any foolproof investment programs and strategies?
Well, let's read Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22 offers us this promise. Think on these things. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." When we have cold and heat, is it a surprise to us? Or summer and winter, is it a surprise to us? Or day and night, is it a surprise to us? Then should it be a surprise to us when we have seed time and then get a harvest? In Matthew 13:23, it says, "And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. God offers a consistently far greater financial return than those offered by anyone else in the world. When we give God our best, understand this, God will recognize and honor it and give us his best.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God is right. Number 7, how do you prosper in a financial crisis? Proverbs 28:20. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Who prospers and profits in the midst of an economic crisis? A faithful man, a faithful woman. Someone who understands that it's not their money, but it's God's, and they are faithful as a steward. Someone who listens to the voice of God and sows in the midst of financial hard times is a faithful man. Someone who's not moved by the cry of bad news, but by the word of God, is a faithful man. Question, are we faithful to sow what God says to sow, to give what he says to give? Let me just tell you, this is not the time to fear and worry. If you study history, there's been an economic recession about every 75 years. Some of the greatest wealth transfers in history have taken place during times of economic turmoil. Do yourself a favor. Turn off the TV news and pick up the Word of God. Tune in to where you can hear the power, honey, of what God has to say. Paul Harvey, the great radio commentator, I want to tell you, I love Paul Harvey. He once said, "In times like these, it helps to recall there's always been times like these."
Yeah, he was great.
And as Paul Harvey would say, that's the rest of the story.
Amen.
For those of you who remember Paul Harvey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to heraldhearing.com if you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.